ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is your host, the Gas Man, with the best co-host in the world.
Thanks for the talk up there.
Yeah, I'm trying to be very positive. You know why? Because this is going to be a badass episode.
Yeah.
I think so.
I agree.
Yeah, is it going
to be... My name is Lugs, by the way. You didn't finish
I didn't say Lugs?
No, you didn't.
Oh, hold on. Let's start that all over again. I'm sorry. Hey folks, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is your host, the Gas Man, with the best co-host in the world, Lugs.
Thank you.
Did that work?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, fantastic.
Perfect. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm telling you, on these weeks off,
you don't know what to do with your life.
I don't.
Does your life have purpose?
I start to question that.
Yeah,
it is. It is torture waiting, having those off weeks.
Yeah.
Torture.
Yeah. I feel you, man, as not just from the podcast standpoint, but as a NASCAR fan, man, like, I don't know what to do on Sundays and stuff now.
Well, I had football, but it's not the same. It's not even close to the same. You know, I wish our fans would tell us what they do. I wish they would communicate to us.
Yeah, we don't know.
It just happens that if the first two fans communicated to us, we would have they would have a free hat. But no one wanted to email us this past since last episode.
We got a lot of engagement on Twitter and Facebook, but man, people just don't know how to use email. I guess.
I guess not. I guess we're doing too much of old school technology.
Yeah, I guess. Showing our age.
Yeah, if I would willing to give my phone number out on air, then they can text me. I guess
email. But, what's the next thing?
Yeah,
email,
I'd rather not do that.
What's email? No one emails.
No, but Lugs's number is just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. So this week is, I mean, okay, so it's been 2 weeks since our last episode.
Yep.
Things are coming together. Things are coming together, man. We got a lot of stuff going on in the works. Today's going to be a super exciting episode. We're going to be joined later by Landon Castle.
Yeah.
Our next episode, we're going to be joined by Joe Martins. So I almost said Tommy Lee. Horrible.
I was wondering where that was.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. No, I just about came. I'm about mouth vomited there, you know. But Tommy Joe Martins. But, you know, we'll get into that later in the show. So, as always, though, we have to start off with thanking the fans for listening, telling a friend, telling a family member, whoever, just talk about us. Good or bad, just talk about us.
Yeah.
Talk to us on Twitter.
You know what
email.
To say. Any PR is good PR, right?
Yeah, sure. WreckingRacing@gmail.com. WreckingRacing@gmail.com. First two people, get hat. All right, enough said there. So, as always, we're going to start off with our official beer of NASCAR.
Bush.
A little premature opening there.
Sorry.
Yeah, wait for me, you know. Yeah, wait for me to stop talking so we can open it.
You talk a lot. I'm sorry.
Well, if I had a better co-host, I probably wouldn't have to talk a lot.
Ooh, sick burn. All right. Yeah, I'm excited for this podcast. I got some good questions for Landon.
Don't embarrass us.
Me? You got a lot of... Yeah.
I'm super stoked for this. I am. I love interviews anyway.
Well, Landon's always... And you know what's funny is okay, I'll let you tell the story, basically, how it kind of came about of him coming on the podcast, if you want. But was it last week? Or I can't remember if it was last episode that we did or the episode before that. But I was actually talking him up and saying, like, how I wanted to see him in, you know, good equipment, and he deserves a good shot and everything. And then big announcement this week, you know, signed with Starcom.
And, yeah, yeah. I mean, he technically was with Starcom at the, you know, last year.
Well, we didn't know that.
But going in, we didn't know if he was going to stay with them. We didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was announced that they renewed his contract for 2019.
Yeah, so very cool. Just kind of weird how things work out, I guess. We were just talking about him, and now he's going to be on the show.
Yeah, so essentially, I asked him to do a shout-out for us on this program called Cameo, and he did. He was like, hey, maybe I'll come on the show sometime. Hell yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. So thank you, Landon.
So yeah, we reached out to him on Twitter, got a response. We really, really freaking appreciate it. We're a small-time podcast. We're trying to make it big one these days. So I think these small time drivers kind of understand that and get that and want to help us out as much as we want to help them out, trying to get on and get some fan base increase, sponsorships, etc. So thank you very much, Landon, if you listen to this after you record it.
Hopefully he listens to his own interview. Maybe not, though. I don't know how professional.
No, some people don't watch their own movies at their end.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, where do you want to start at?
Another thing. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you'll see that there's a giveaway for a Trevor Rizzo shirt. Trevor is the young gentleman that we sponsored for a couple of races over in the late model series over at Myrtle Beach. So definitely follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well as Trevor.
Follow him and us, right?
Yep, and retweet it. Yep, and retweet it for a chance to win. Fantastic young man. Fantastic. So help him out. Help him get some sponsorships, too. He's just a kid that's eager to race.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So where do you want to start?
Well, we'll start about the Cup Series, and then by the time we get done, maybe we'll have Landon on the show.
Okay, cool. Well, did you see they're bringing the 8 back to Richard Childress? How do you feel about that, man? Gotta have some mixed emotions, huh?
I do. I mean, it's very interesting that they are pairing the 8 with the 3.
Yes.
And did you hear why Richard Childress had the 8 car?
No, I saw they're doing a special gold paint scheme. I heard about that. But
so he's actually had the number 8 allocated, purchased, whatever you want to call it, for several years now.
Okay.
They just hadn't really...
So basically since DEI gave it up,
Pretty much. And the reason why, he was going to bring Ty Dillon into the fold with the number 8 car. But he signed with Germain Racing instead. So, which I didn't know. I mean, I was always assuming, I'm like, okay, why don't they bring Ty in, right?
Yeah.
I always wondered that. I didn't know they were actually considered it, which, I mean, it makes sense, but...
I didn't know that, but...
It would have Austin in the 3 and Ty in the 8.
Because
last year, the first time we've seen the 8 actually on the track for, like, what, 4 races, 5 races?
Yeah, when Hendrick made his
Mountain snuff or whatever it was.
But who... How do you feel? I mean, not as just a junior fan, right? Everybody, I think, had mixed emotions whenever the 3 came back and Dillon was in it. But what do you... I don't know, man. See, like the 3 and the 8?
I don't... Yeah, so to me, the 3 is iconic. If there's a number that should be retired, it should be the 3. But I get it's not, you know, whatever. To me, the 8 is iconic in the way that it followed the Earnhardt family, junior. But then again, I'm okay with it. It's different seeing it, especially at Childress. And I'm kind of glad if it went anywhere, it would be Childress. But
you're right. Yeah, definitely. I think it would be kind of out of place with any other organization. True.
I tell you what I don't like about it. I don't like the font they used.
It's really blocky.
It reminds me of like a jersey.
It's like blocky, isn't it?
Kinda? It is. Yeah. So like back of a football jersey or something like that is what it reminds me of. I'm not a big fan of that. They said that the font that Junior used was still proprietary to DEI or whoever.
Right.
So they couldn't use that font, but I still think there'd be some other kind of better choice in what they did.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So I wonder if that is a decision by Richard or there's a marketing team or if Daniel had a say in it.
A little bit of brand identity to differentiate it, you know, a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, the 8 they used last year was like a very curvy, swoopy 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, which I didn't like that 8 either.
You're just biased against 8s, man. What's going on? Anyways, it'll be interesting to see them out on the track, those two numbers out there again. But also, they kind of announced a gold paint scheme for the 3 car. And I don't know, is it both cars? The 3 and the 8?
Okay. Both cars.
So both cars are running a gold, basically homage, throwback to the old Dale Earnhardt Bass Pro paint scheme that was 20 years ago. Right? Yeah. 20 years?
Something like that. But isn't it like commemorating 50 years of NASCAR or something like that? Or 30 years of NASCAR?
I don't remember, honestly.
I don't remember either.
I know Earnhardt ran it in 98, so we'll just go with that.
I was thinking it was I was thinking it was 50 years of racing in NASCAR Childress.
Because I think he ran it in the All-Star race, did he not?
He did. He raced the Bass Pro Shop car in the All-Star race. Gotcha. Yeah, that gold one, yes. Yeah.
All right, so also a little bit of other news this week with Corey LaJoie. So he's been tabbed to drive the GoFast 32 car. So he's going to replace Di Burrito, in air quotes there, De Benedetto, who's going to the LFR 95 Toyota. So a little bit of news there. Again, didn't know kind of where he was going.
I'll be honest with you, this was left field for me. Yeah. I never expected this. And I hope for, you know, Corey's sake that he can get the following that Di Burrito had. I don't know. Di Burrito had a huge cult following.
Yeah. He's very outgoing and charismatic and popular with the fans.
Do you get that with Corey?
I don't know that I've seen enough or, you know, I'm just going to say that. No, I don't. Because when I think about LaJoie, he doesn't get the camera time that De Benedetto does. But at the same time, he's not been in the Cup Series as long either, so.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I think here's the thing, is that just seeing Corey on, you know, Twitter, stuff like that, he has the opportunity there to grasp it and go with it. I think he can.
Hell of a beard.
You know, yeah, there you go, yeah. So I think, you know, he's got big shoes to fill, filling in for Matt in that seat, but I think he'll do a good job. And I'm glad. You know, it's a NASCAR name that's still around.
Yeah, LaJoie. Yeah, absolutely.
And also, breaking news, just a couple hours ago, Richard Childress made the comment that you might see Tyler Reddick in the Cup Series in 2019.
Really? Making a Cup debut, huh?
Yeah. So I guess maybe they sell the charter, the 27 charter. So,
which used to be Menard, yeah.
Yeah, so they sold that off. So I guess they wouldn't do it with the charter, then they would just run it as a third car.
Mm-hmm.
In hopes that it makes qualifying.
Which I don't see why it wouldn't.
Usually, right. So anyway, there is a chance that Tyler Reddick could make a 2019 debut with Childress. And like I said, that was as of just a couple hours ago that was posted.
Interesting. Wouldn't have guessed that. Wouldn't have guessed that, especially being with a new team and organization, you know, in Xfinity with RCR. So good for him, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't know if it's premature. I think, I don't know if this year's the year for him, but I definitely think he's has the potential. I think he's kind of has what you've seen that you need to come up into. But I mean, then again, we've seen Ryan Preece. I mean,
yeah.
We've seen a couple guys come up this year that they all are deserving, unexpected. But a little unexpected.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So going back to bringing up Di Burrito is a good segue. So did you see NBC Sports or NASCAR and NBC is basically having this paint scheme bracket where all the popular paint schemes.
I was trying to figure out where you're going with saying Matt Di Burrito. But yes, I did see that.
So they're squaring off basically they're down to the final two now.
So, but the one you're talking about, they were, and it turned into a big cluster.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it got political. It got Dale Juniorized. It got.
So it sounds like you know quite a bit. Tell us about he was up against.
I was following it on Twitter. So you have. Essentially, you have Austin Dillon's silver number 3 car against Di Burrito's Snoopy Halloween theme car.
Which that 3 car looked good, I'll be honest with you.
They both look good.
Yeah.
Me personally, coming from an Earnhardt fan, me personally, that Halloween car was my favorite car of the year.
Really?
Yes. So I.
Wow. All right. I did not expect that.
Yeah. So I really liked that car. I thought it was a pretty funny, pretty cool looking car. Well, anyway. They ended up in a tie. So they had to redo it all again because it's 50-50 on the voting. So they had to redo it. And when they redid it, Donald Trump Jr., of all people, post on it. You know, he tweets it, whatever, and says, hey, support my good friend Austin.
Uh-huh.
Then Della Jr. made a comment, something about, that's a nice-looking 3 or something like that. And obviously, all of a sudden, Austin Dillon wins by like 5,000%.
Yeah, I saw it. It was basically... easily tipped the scales after Junior tweeted on it, but so
was it fair to Di Burrito?
No, not really.
I don't think so.
Junior, gosh,
yeah,
rigging
it. I would say more Donald Trump Junior than Junior Earnhardt, but
You think so? I think
what I mean is at least
way more fans.
Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that, but what I was referring to is that Donald Trump Jr. was advocating my buddy Austin vote for him, and Jr.'s like, oh, I really like that 3 car or whatever.
Yeah.
So he didn't really give a whole lot of input on it.
Anybody that follows Jr. is going to be a diehard Jr. or his dad fan, so they're going to vote for it regardless. Yeah,
exactly. And now that, I think it's that car going against the number 12 PPG.
No, it got beat out.
The Ryan Blaney one got beat out?
No, Ryan is up against Chase Elliott now.
Okay, so whatever what it was, Junior said his favorite paint scheme of the year was the PPG, the blue PPG car.
Junior said that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So that's going to take Ryan now to the next level, probably.
Huh. Yeah, so that's it. That's the semifinal right there. It's for the ultimate winning of the bracket. It's Chase's Mountain Dew, which he won, I think, Kansas with. And then Blaney's PPG, which I like the PPG paint scheme, but I didn't think it's like
it wasn't
semifinal
material. So I agree. I liked it, but it wasn't one of my tops, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't didn't blow me away. Yeah, I have no idea what that was.
Your spit cover thing. When you foam at the mouth.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, you answered my question. I was going to ask you what your favorite paint scheme of the year was. I had no clue you were going to say DiBurritos 32.
I thought that Halloween scheme was really neat.
I mean,
neat.
It was, but it's I did really not neat. Expect you to say that.
I'm a kid at heart.
Yeah, I guess you just really like Snoopy. You never told me your profound love for Snoopy, I guess.
I guess I haven't. I don't know if I told myself.
it's coming out on the podcast.
You heard it first, folks. Yeah.
So, all right.
What about you? What about you? What was your favorite scheme of the
year? I knew you were going to ask that, and I don't have a freaking clue. I know you dogged on it. You didn't like it, but I really liked William Byron's Hertz car.
Oh, God, that's the ugliest freaking car. All that yellow, I hate the yellow color.
Really?
Right? Yeah, it's
I thought it looked mean. It looked good on the Camaro, man.
No, it looked ugly.
Well, never mind. I'm not going to go. another scheme that I did like.
I mean, there's plenty to choose from. I mean, one I really liked that I really liked the way it looked was Keselowski's Rusty Wallace throwback.
The Miller, mm-hmm. Miller High Life. That I did like that one as well. There's a lot of good options. I really liked Johnson had a special paint scheme as well.
I know which one's your favorite.
What?
BJ McLeod at Darlington.
What was it?
Hardy's car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it didn't get a whole lot of camera time, but yeah, that was...
It got more than we expected.
Yeah.
Because it, like, wrecks all around him. He's, like, dodging them around him.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, he kept navigating through him, so... that was a good one, too. I forgot about that one, so... I don't know. It's one of those. We'll just leave it with that. I can't pick. There's too many.
So NASCAR's looking to sell their minority...
Oh, man, you missed a good segue there.
I did?
Could talk about Darlington.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, screw that. We'll talk about Darlington. Yeah, okay. So Darlington announced that their throwback is going to be based between 1990 and 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So that was right...
Arguably the best-looking cars of the stock car era, in my opinion.
I'm not going to disagree with that at all. I know you kind of came in at the very tail end of that mm-hmm. when you started watching.
Yep.
I watched it through that period, but I'm not going to lie. I forgot 99.9% of it.
Yeah.
My memory sucks to begin with. So just out of curiosity, I went back and tried to look up some paint schemes during that time. So anything that sticks out to you? Like any cars from that era? So a couple that I wrote down, obviously, the nostalgic black number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you had the Tide cards of Darrell Waltrip and then Ricky Rudd.
Yeah.
Mellow yellow, Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch, really?
Gosh dang it, Kyle Petty.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, man. As much as, I'm not hating against him, but I've never really been a Kyle Petty fan. But that 42 car was always kind of iconic.
So who else drove a mellow yellow car during that era?
During that era?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bobby Hamilton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know why? Because he was driving in the 1990 Daytona 500 along with Tommy Ellis, who's driving the Hardys number 18 car because they were filming scenes for the Days of Thunder.
Yeah, I heard that they caused quite a fuss about that.
I'm sure.
A lot of the teams didn't want them in the race.
Yeah, I could see that. So they were in the race. They were
If they did it now, oh my gosh, they would never get that approved nowadays.
Why not? That's cool.
Because I think now the cost is way too much. The cars are quadruple the price.
Well, so these cars were Hendrick cars.
Yeah.
So you nowadays you need two more cars.
Just think of all the technology and money and research and development that's in the cars now versus then.
Throw $100,000 per car to Rick Hendrick for literally 10 minutes on the track. Okay.
Yeah, they'd be getting lapped in like five.
Well,
five
yeah,
laps,
sure. But I'm sure they would. But the point is for that close coverage at first. You know, I mean, these cars didn't. They'll
get about 30 seconds of footage.
Yeah.
Before they get lapped.
Yeah, but when the cars come up behind, they can use act like they're in the lead, or can they not?
Until they get wrecked yeah. out of the way.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, they'll have to pull out of the way, obviously. But
it was the guy that pulled off of pit road at a Talladega probably 10 years ago and just blended straight up into the traffic and took out like 30 cars. Do you remember that?
I do not remember that.
I think it was in the Busch series at the time.
I do not remember that.
I'll have to look it up. Sokka knows.
Sokka knows everything.
Yeah,
that guy knows everything.
I can't remember. I think he did some sort of video at school on it or something, I think. But anyways, here nor there, that wouldn't be a good result for.
Yeah. So a couple other paint schemes to throw out there. Gordon's rainbow scheme.
Of course. But it's been done, man, the last.
It's true. It has.
Few
it
years.
Has.
And a couple people have done it in Xfinity the last few years.
I wasn't necessarily throwing out paint schemes that someone was going to race, but it makes you wonder, think of that time frame, what were iconic. One I really liked is the Skull Bandit car.
Skull. That's classic. Yep.
Yep.
I really liked. The 17 car back in that era, Waltrip's car, Western Auto Parts.
The Western Auto, yeah, because he also drove the 17 Ty car back then, too, which was just like Ricky Rudd's 10, pretty much. But the silver and black and orange, I guess, was on the bottom of the Western Auto car.
Yeah,
pretty neat. So anyway, think about it. You know, let us know what, you know, was your favorite paint scheme during 90 to 94. I mean, there's a lot
really
of options.
We're really showing our age, too, because some of our fans may not.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, half our fans they never heard of 1994.
That's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Google it and let us know what.
I had it Googled because I couldn't remember stuff.
That's
I mean,
like
there's some of them that
been like 40 years for you though.
I know. Yeah. Actually, you know, it's been the same for 90 to 94 has been the same time of like time frame for both of us. Not just for me, for both of us, it's been
20 days less for me though.
No, it's still from 1990 to present has been the exact same amount of time for us.
Whatever.
Yes, I am older than you by 20 days, but we were born before 1990.
Shut up.
We are freaking old.
Why are we arguing about this?
You're like having a wife.
Don't argue with your wife, then.
I don't argue. I just listen. She's one that does arguing. Anyway, moving on. So we'll go back to now what I was going to discuss before that about John Henry. He's the owner of the Red Sox. He's also a part owner of Roush Fenway Racing. Is looking to potentially purchase a minority stake in NASCAR. And I don't see anything with this other than he sees it as a business move. Thoughts?
But what? I mean. I don't know. My question there is why. If it's a business move, but unless he knows something is on the horizon that we don't.
Maybe he feels that NASCAR is going to pick back up again. They're going to start adding more short tracks and become a little more viable.
Which, actually, it's funny you say that. Let me pull up my handy-dandy phone here real quick. There was actually an article.
Or maybe he feels that NASCAR is going to sell out in the future, and when they do, he'll cash in then. I mean, there could be many reasons. You know,
it wasn't Steve Phelps, but it was another Phelps in NASCAR. Or maybe it was Steve Phelps. I can't find the article now. But basically, he was saying that it was moving out of a concept discussion phase and into like a new business model phase. Like everything has been put in place. The dominoes are starting to fall. And a lot of it that he was talking about was the new sponsorship, you know, tier system that we talked about a couple weeks ago. But, you know, we've seen a lot of discussion about them entertaining, bringing back some old tracks. I saw something about Rockingham today.
That'd be cool.
On Twitter or something, basically saying that, you know, they're committed to revamping it and they're dumping a bunch of money into it. Of course, does that mean the Cup Series is going to go there? I don't know. No one knows that yet. But same thing with Nashville.
Mm-hmm. And today there's big news on Nashville. So they announced a partnership with Bristol Motor Speedway and a promotional team, I guess you would say, to start getting ready to try to push for NASCAR events.
Hmm.
That was just a couple hours ago as well.
Hmm.
That they announced that. So definitely line themselves up to, you know, be in the running for at least an Xfinity race and potentially bigger.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's our, once they get that up and going like on the NASCAR circuit, then that would be probably our closest track.
Yeah, 2 hours versus Kentucky's about 3 and Indy's about 3.
Yeah.
So outside of St. Louis or something there.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I would love for it to happen. Nashville's an awesome city, too.
Yeah. I just totally gave away our radius, kind of where we're located. So
it's okay. We mentioned it on the show. I don't know how many times the area we're at. Yeah,
Maybe they didn't listen to that.
Well, they should go back and listen.
Yeah.
We're in Indiana.
But where? All right. So,
last week, because just a few moments ago, you're talking about how you were mentioning a couple episodes about Landon and Chance and how, like, premonition almost, where you talk about and all of a sudden things start to flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked about last episode. We talked about who would step up and take over ownership in these teams. Yeah, and then, like, literally, like, the very next day, guess what's announced?
Yeah. Mr. Gordon.
Yeah, so, which you kind of called this, is what you thought your feelings were, is that when Hendrick calls it quits, Gordon's pretty much going to step up for the ownership role.
Yeah, and Rick basically came out and said that. I was kind of surprised.
It means he must at least be thinking about it.
Well, I mean, he's already equity partner, and it's funny you bring that up because he was actually on the Dale Jr. download this week. I don't know if you've...
Rick Hendrick was?
No, Gordon. So I don't know if you've listened to... Obviously, you haven't. But Rick Hendrick has been on there. Actually, he was on there just a few weeks ago, so go back and listen to that one too. But Gordon was on there in this week's episode, and it talked about a lot of really cool stuff. They even went back to the days of when Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Sr. used to race together and talked about their business ventures and how those got formed when, you know, a lot of fans thought they hated each other and all that. But I think that's kind of well known nowadays anyways. But essentially, you know, he was commending Junior, saying, you know, I come into this race shop, Junior Motorsports, and I see everything that's going on, and I see what you're doing on the track, and, you know, with his sister Kelly and everything, the resources that they put into it and the effort that it takes to put a, you know, highly competitive, good race team out there, let alone 3 or 4 cars. I don't know. When I heard him talking about it in that manner, I kind of thought, well, maybe Jeff isn't going to move into the competition side of things. Maybe he's just going to remain, you know, equity holder and ride the cash cow, right? But then Hendrick basically came out this week and said otherwise. So apparently there's more to it than that. You know, I don't know to what degree, though. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a smart move. Here's the thing. You got one of the greatest racers of all time. And yes, you hear me say that.
Okay? I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah. So
I was really in shock. That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah. So you have one of the greatest racers of all times. Already somewhat has an ownership role in the company anyway. Let him run it as he sees it needs to be ran. And let him go to town with it. I think he'll do great.
Yeah.
He's a passionate guy. No matter what, you know, whether it's his family, his TV stuff he has going on, you know, whether it's, you know, Kelly Ripa Live or is announcing, whatever, he's into it. I mean, he's in. So if he takes this over, I see him being full in, full hands on, making it a success.
Yeah.
Even more than what it is.
Yeah. It's funny though. Go listen to that episode of Dale Jr. Download. They talk about, few times when Gordon and Junior went and partied together. I guess they lived pretty close to each other in North Carolina for a while, and they partied a little bit and talked about back when Junior was still in the Busch series and Gordon stepped down. You remember the 24 Pepsi car he ran in the Busch series with Evernham? He basically co-owned the car with Evernham in the Busch series. It was only a team that they did a select amount of races with, but talked about racing Junior in the Busch series and a couple of funny instances that happened in those races. So definitely go check it out. I'm surprised you don't listen to it, man.
I do. I have in the past. I haven't here recently. I mean, honestly, here recently, the only podcast I listen to is ours. I just like to hear my voice. Thanks, Jackass.
But it's like an hour and a half episode. It's a very long one.
Good. Well, maybe I'll catch you at work tomorrow because I doubt I'll be working. I'm sure my boss doesn't listen to this anyway. So last thing.
I hope he does.
Last thing before we get to our Landon interview, the schedule was released for 2019. Any surprises on the times?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Not really. A couple people had some complaints. I don't even remember what the complaints were now, but I really didn't have anything. So.
Nah. I mean, nothing really got moved around. Nothing, really stuck out at me as being a big change. I think, what I say, like 2020, 2021 is when they will potentially start to be able to make some of those changes that everybody's looking for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a good time frame for the changes to take effect. So I definitely see them being very competitive going forward in the future. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We have Landon Castle joining us, driver of the Starcom Chevrolet Monster Energy Cup car. Landon, what's happening, man?
Not much. Just enjoying December at home.
Yeah. So, is the snow melted yet?
Yeah, it did. It hung around for a while. We got an awful lot of snow. I live in Davidson, in North Carolina, and it did hang around for 4 or 5 days. It seemed like, and then it warmed up, and we had about 2 days worth of rain, and it washed it all away.
That's the best kind. It's here and it's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you drive like a big four-wheel drive truck or do you have like a little small car? Like what's your daily driver?
I have a Toyota Tacoma and my wife drives the Ford Explorer.
Okay.
So pretty basic.
Okay, well, I just want to see if you got out and played in the snow at all. Yeah.
we were out of town when it snowed, so we missed the fun part. You know, it was had sort of half melted and then frozen already by the time we got home. So we got a good 3 or 4 days of seeing the snowy the snow on the ground, but we didn't get to have any fun in the road with the snow drifts and stuff like that on the roads.
Gotcha. You guys don't usually get a lot of snow there, do you?
In North Carolina, typically. Or this part of North Carolina, probably 1 or 2 good snowstorms per year. And,
okay.
And snow doesn't stick around for longer than a few days.
Yeah, I think I seen something about the second coming of Jesus. Dale Jr. posting something about he's not seen that much snow, and he used like his wife's like decoration or something to measure the the depth of it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed the snowstorm, like the snow coming down, but I will definitely say that this was the most snow I've seen in a while.
Awesome. I think last year we had that issue here. We're in Indiana, just to let you know, and last year it just seemed like it would never go away.
Yeah, we had snow up until basically April.
Well, towards the end of April, yeah. We had snow. It was horrible last year.
Yeah. So, Landon, got to ask, are you enjoying the off season, or are you ready for Daytona, ready to get at it?
This is still the part of the off season that I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Usually after Christmas and New Year's is over is when I start getting antsy for the race season.
Start to get
the
itch.
And usually that last 4 days before Daytona is when you start slamming the brakes and it's like, no, I'm not ready to leave yet. I got more chores to do. I didn't get this done. I forgot about whatever. I need one more week at home.
Yeah.
Middle to late January is when you start getting cabin fever a little bit.
For sure.
So to get prepped, do you do any kind of like iRacing or do you stay in touch with like NASCAR Heat 3, anything like that?
Really just working on my physical fitness mostly, and just making sure that I stay fit over the off season. And you know, I had been doing half Ironman triathlon races for a couple of years, and I didn't do one last year, and kind of let myself get a little bit out of shape. And so I signed up for a half Ironman that I'm going to do in August, and kind of committed to that.
Oh,
so
cool.
Back training for that, and that really helps me a lot in the race car. So focusing on that a lot this winter, and I'll be working on that throughout the race season, really. And we're testing at Las Vegas at the end of January, so that'll really be the biggest thing that kicks off our season for the race team.
You got to keep those iRacing skills honed a little bit for your stints on NASCAR America, right? I seen you and Parker go at it a couple times on there. That's always fun to watch.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it, though. It's hard to keep up with him. I don't get on iRacing enough.
Yeah, I enjoy, you know, your part on that show and your commentating and everything. As you know, are you going to be back on there next year? You're just kind of waiting to see what happens and see what shakes out, or
I hope to be. You know, they just gotta plan on what the show looks like and what it's gonna be. You know, I really enjoyed it, so I'd love to continue contributing on those shows and with NBC Sports. They really do a nice job, and that was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. I mean, it's just for me, it was a lot of learning different aspect of the business, mm-hmm. and the industry that we're in. You know, kind of realizing that I spend so many years and weeks and years on the road from my perspective in the garage, but there's a whole another world of people that put on this show.
Absolutely.
On the TV side. And
yeah.
So it was cool to experience that with them as well.
You seem well suited for the role. You look very comfortable when you're, you know, on the show. Does it feel different doing that versus, you know, in an interview like on a race weekend, or does it feel kind of the same?
It's definitely a lot different than getting interviewed, because getting interviewed, you don't have to prepare. You don't have responsibilities. There's no expectation. You know, you just, all you have to do is be yourself.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, you know, you want to be yourself on a show, especially when you're an analyst, because you're there to provide your expertise. But you have to, I mean, if you want to be a good analyst, you have to be presenting some value to the show. You have to be coming to the show. You have to come to the show with some information that the fans or that the viewers need to hear and need to understand. So that was a challenge for me, is transitioning from being on TV and not really having any responsibility to being on TV. And, you know, they go to you and you have to make the statement that you discussed making or that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you seem very, very good, and you know, you look at home there in that role. So hopefully we see you back there, you know, behind the cameras again next year.
Yeah. Do you ever catch yourself like shoes on the other foot kind of mentality, where, you know, sometimes you're like, damn that media, you know, I wish they, all that fake news, and then you're kind of part of it now. It's kind of like, I got to be careful how I approach this, or maybe just seeing it from that different set of eyes gives you a new respect for that type of position.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at earlier, is just seeing it from a different angle. I'd say the biggest thing that I had a new appreciation for is just how hard it is to put on a live show and you know, not just NASCAR America in the studio, but, you know, I was a pit reporter at the Road America Xfinity race, and I got to see, you know, how they put on a live race and how they prepare for it. And I had a whole new appreciation for how easy it is for us to get mad on Twitter after a race and say, why didn't you interview my driver? Didn't you notice that he started 35th and finished 22nd? Isn't that a great day? Why didn't you interview him?
Right.
Or people getting mad about things like that. And I had just a completely different learning experience that made me realize, you know, how wide open you are producing a live race, and how tough it is to get all the information, to get all the storylines in a race.
Yeah, I think that goes without you know, having an impact on some fans. They don't maybe realize how much research and hard work goes into, you know, those shows. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Lugs, our podcast is a pretty crappy podcast, and we spend hours prepping for this.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something I can't imagine what Landon's doing.
Well, you don't have a crappy podcast by any means.
Well, not now. Not that you're on here. I mean, so Landon, my fanboy is starting to geek out a little bit too. I used to watch when you would go live on Facebook. Remember those days? I couldn't tell you how long ago. It was when you were partnered with Loves, obviously, and you just go up to strangers at the gas station and buy them gas or buy them drinks or snacks or anything like that. Dude, those were so awesome. I love those videos. So thank you for doing those. That was awesome.
No problem. I need to do that this year. That was fun. I mean, the hard part, it's hard to do that, you know, when you're so focused on getting to the airport or you know, you didn't have the best race, you're not in the mood. You know, it's hard to remember to go live when you got to get going and you got to get somewhere. So, you know, I got to find the best time and place to do that and make it a regular thing.
And that gives, you know,
I also need to figure out which platform is best for me to do it. I mean, Facebook is such a great platform. There's a lot of people on there, but I don't use Facebook on a regular basis. Uh-huh. You know, I use Twitter on a very regular basis. I use Instagram pretty regularly, even though I don't post a lot of content. So I, you know, I kind of need to figure out the best platform to post my updates.
Yeah,
we're kind of going through that ourselves, trying to figure out what platform, because I'm a Facebook guy, and I didn't even use Twitter really until we started the podcast, and now it's like I use Twitter 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back to that, Landon, I mean, it just really gives that awesome kind of inside look where you know, not a lot of drivers provide that exposure to their fans. So
access.
Yeah, that type of access is really cool. Did you ever have, like, you know, anybody, any weird encounters? Or, because I remember one guy, you bought him gas, and, I mean, he was, like, in, like, an F-250 or something, like this big diesel truck. You probably spent $75 filling his tank up, and he acted like, I mean, he couldn't care less. He wasn't very grateful. Did you have any other weird encounters or anything that sticks out at you?
Yeah, those were a little weird because some of the guys, like, you hate to buying gas was an awkward thing because you could just walk up to somebody and be like, "Hi, I'm a NASCAR driver that you've probably never heard of," you know, and you're just assuming a lot of things. You're assuming that they're gonna all of a sudden care, you know. You're assuming that, like, it's not my type to walk up and be like, "I'm important," you know, and I'm gonna buy you gas.
Well, yeah, but they should still be grateful. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that it's probably takes for some of them. It's just like, what just happened? this guy just bought me gas, and he videotaped it the whole time, and didn't. It was kind of weird, and you know. So yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun. I tinkered with the split screen Facebook Live a little bit too, and split screen with some fans. That was interesting.
I bet.
It's like FaceTiming with people, but on a live stream.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, like, getting on with someone like that. What's that old, like, video roulette?
Chat roulette.
Chat roulette, yeah. No. I remember. I used to do that.
Oh, man. Never know what you're going to get. It's funny.
Yeah.
And we kind of relate to that a little bit. Lugs and I were down at Daytona for the Coke Zero Sugar 400 this past year. And us trying to, you know, trying to grow the podcast a little bit. We're going up to fans saying, "Hey, you know, we host a podcast." People are like, what? Get the hell away from it.
Yeah. Couldn't be bothered. What? Couldn't be bothered.
So we get it.
Yeah. You got to come up with a good sales pitch.
Yeah. How often are you recognized not being in a fire suit?
Too often. I actually was recognized the other just yesterday randomly here in Huntersville, North Carolina. But you know, not too often.
I mean, that's got to be nice, though.
It depends peacefully. On where I'm at, I guess.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to both sides, I guess.
A lot of times in the Charlotte, Mooresville area, I'm not necessarily being recognized by fans as much as it is just other people from the industry.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's someone that might know me, but I don't know who they are, but they probably work on a team or something sure. like that.
Sure.
So it's not necessarily, not like paparazzi or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good problem to have. No paparazzi. Yeah, one of these days he'll be as big as Miley Cyrus, and then you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I'll shave my head.
Go, yeah, go crazy.
So Landon, big news, you know, was it yesterday or day before that you're basically going to be back with the...
Monday, I think.
Okay, Monday, back with the 00, you know, Starcom. Back in the Cup Series and everything, so congrats there. You know, anything you want to throw out there regards to that media piece or anything?
No, I mean, I'm just excited for the upcoming season. You know, to run full time in the 00 will be a lot of fun. You know, they're assembling it's a good group of people that own this team, and they have such a great core company back home for them in New Jersey, and they treat their clients and their employees so well. They have such a loyal base in their home company that, you know, I keep telling them if they can just apply that to their race team, they will attract so much talent and so many good people to come work for them, which will just give us, you know, will get us more and more success as a race team. So they're doing it the right way. They've had you know, they've got a lot of learning experiences along the way. But they're definitely committed to the sport
for sure.
And I appreciate the way that they hired me to drive. You know, they came to me and they weren't worried about the sponsorship or anything like that. They just wanted me as a driver. They hired me to do it.
Awesome.
And they're committed to building the team with me. You know, and we're going to go find sponsorship as a team, you know, as opposed to sort of having a rent-a-ride type mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've actually, Lugs and I, the last several months doing this podcast, we've had Garrett Smithley on, Vinny Miller, you know, a whole bunch of people that we talk about the importance of sponsorship. And it actually kind of surprised us being, you know, fans of the sport. We've seen a whole different side that we didn't know existed. We always assumed the teams got the sponsors, they hired the best driver, but we found out that's not always the case, that the drivers a lot of times are responsible for bringing the sponsor. So hearing that...
I mean, it's...
Go ahead.
It's kind of turning into that, more mm-hmm. of that,
yeah.
where I don't know what's causing it in our sport. Because it used to be more so where the team, in most cases, it was the team that had the sponsor and then the team chose the driver, but to some degree the sponsor chose the driver, but the sponsor was already with the team,
right?
And then over the last 10 years or so, it's just the paradigm has kind of shifted where the team is sort of a service provider, and the team is willing to run any driver. They don't really care who the driver is, as long as the driver has a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're waiting to hear what a team is announcing they're going to do with their next season's driver and sponsor combination, it's just because they're sort of waiting for the best deal to come along. It's not, you know, some of these teams just, they don't act like they care who the driver is. They just want the guy that's going to bring the most money.
Right.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Cause there's a lot of guys who are extremely talented that don't get those opportunities. I'm really glad StarCom is doing this for you.
I think it has a lot to do with just how expensive it is to run a team. I mean, they're just, these team owners have a tremendous financial risk out there to try to fund a full-time NASCAR Cup Series operation. And I think it's hard enough to find sponsorship that it's easier for them to sit back and let the sponsorship and the driver come to them, as opposed to taking on the risk by saying, okay, here's a driver that we want, but he doesn't have any sponsorship. So you know, that's where it goes to StarCom, is them sort of biting the bullet and saying, look, we're going to pay for this because we don't want to be hogtied to a driver and a sponsor where the driver controls the money. You know, this is our team. We're making the investments. We're taking on the risk. So we want to hire the people that we want to work on the car and to drive it. And, you know, at some point, you know, if they assemble the right team through that process, the sponsorship will come.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So I think that's kind of their idea. And that's, like I said, I appreciate that because that, to me, that gives me reason to be a race car driver. I don't have a lot of desire to be just a full-time sales guy that takes all that money and spends it to go drive race cars. I enjoy being a professional race car driver, so it gives me something I can sink my teeth into.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of thing that, you know, you look at the results and you say, man, must be hard to run 30th every week or something like that. But in my position, it's more of a thought process of, I was hired to do a job and I'm improving, you know, I'm leaving the team better than where I found it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm accomplishing the goals that I was hired to do. And that's, you know, I feel like I was valued for that. So that's what makes it worth it for me.
Yeah. And on that, Landon, just to throw out, I saw you guys had a link up that you got some new 2019 merchandise already out on the website. So just want to throw that out for, you know, people that are listening and go check out the new merchandise that you guys have got on the site. But one other thing I saw just looking and kind of going back to the social media talk again, but whenever the news story broke, and it wasn't just on Twitter, but also like on Facebook and, you know, NASCAR and NBC was reporting the announcement and everything. Did you ever read those comments, man? Because you are absolutely loved by the fans. Like, I did not see one negative comment on the Facebook post that I was reading from NASCAR and NBC, basically saying, you know, how underrated you are, you know, how well liked you are by the fans, and that you deserve this, and everybody's happy to see it. You go online and read a lot of those posts very often.
Yeah, I do. I read a lot of the comments. I like to respond to some of the good ones, and you know, it's. I appreciate all the fan support. I've always had a lot of good fan support, and you know, I feel like I enjoy communicating with people over the internet and over social media, and I think that resonates with the people that spend a lot of time on social media. And so I feel a connection for sure to the race fans that get all of their news from social media and that seek, you know, more out of the sport. And more from their drivers via social media. I feel like I connect with those people well because I know what they're looking for, and I'm one of those people myself when it comes to my own personal interests. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I definitely like seeing that kind of feedback.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah, we've talked about you, I don't know how many times on this show, and about how talented you are. And like I say, it's nice to see guys who are talented get opportunities, or they're, you know, at least backed, and, you know, the teams actually show faith in that person instead of just going for the money. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Landon, what's the weirdest fan interaction you've ever had?
You kind of asked him that already. Yeah, it's like about the video thing.
Yeah, but that's with the gas line thing. But I mean,
have you signed any babies?
I don't think I've signed babies. I mean, a lot of times you'll be in an autograph session and like one little kid like wants you to sign his arm or something like that, and you're like, "What? Well, I don't." You know,
that's gonna wash.
So you sign the kid's arm, but then every single kid standing in line behind them goes, "Oh, I want my arm signed too." And all of a sudden you have 8 kids that are asking you to sign their arm with a Sharpie. And it's just like, hey, your mom's going to kill you. But...
Okay. That's hilarious. So, I do want to bring up an event that happened, several years ago. So you had a little run in with Danica. You probably know where I'm going with this. And you made a comment about, you know, one of the first rules of racing is learn how to wreck someone without wrecking yourself. So my question to you in regards to that is, how many fans did you gain that day?
I have no idea, but that is the one-liner in the event that just keeps coming back to me over and over and over again.
Well, that's a good rule.
Yeah.
I think that there's one of the highlight videos on YouTube that has that wreck in it has like several hundred thousand views.
Nice.
Is that when you knew you made it big in the sport?
Maybe, I guess. Although I feel like, you know, it's not like that big of a deal to have to make a claim to fame that you got into it with Danica, because she pretty much got into it with every single driver.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, no kidding. We talked about that numerous times on this show. And my biggest complaint with her was it just seemed like she never accepted responsibility. And it was just a little frustrating from a fan's perspective to see everybody else's fault most of the time. So, but
yeah,
whatever. she's off in her thing now. We don't have to worry about it anymore. So we don't want to piss too many people off here. I do admit that whenever she did retire, it seemed like there's a whole group of fans that just stopped talking about her and just like care less about her now that she retired. But again, that's my perspective.
Yeah, she didn't stick around. I mean, she did the IndyCar thing, and
yeah,
I haven't really seen much of her lately.
Yeah, all she's doing now is ruining Aaron Rodgers' career.
So, Landon enjoying the off season. Fans. You know, as a fan, I always want to know, you know, wonder what my driver is watching on Netflix. What's my driver listening to on Spotify? Give us some insight. What do you got going on in your music and TV world?
On Netflix, I'm watching,
pull up the queue. All right.
Take a look. Yeah. Last night we were actually watching this, like, cheesy new kids Christmas movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say New Kids on the Block.
Christmas Chronicle.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, no.
I heard that Christmas Chronicle is pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, we're halfway through that. I fell asleep watching it last night, but we're going to finish it tonight.
Yeah.
On my kids' account, my son watches Super Wing.
How old's your son?
Show right now, he's 3.5.
Oh, okay. That's a great age. That was my favorite age of my daughter.
My wife likes to watch stand-up. Yeah. My wife likes watching stand-up, so she watches all the comedy specials.
Okay. Okay.
I've been watching the Haunting of
Hill House.
I just watched The Bodyguard. It was pretty good.
Okay. I got that one in my list.
In The Office, mostly.
Office, yeah. Office, can't go wrong with The Office.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I basically have a $10 a month subscription to The Office. That's all I watch. What about music wise, Landon? What do you got going on music wise?
We've been listening to all the Christmas stations lately.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, for some reason I've been wearing out the Post Malone radio.
Okay.
Post Malone. Yeah. Pretty talented guy.
Gasman doesn't know who that is.
I do too. Yeah, I've seen him on TV before. Like, he was in like a plane.
It can get a little depressing at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he was stuck in an airplane that had a circle for a couple hours,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
See? Yeah. I'm old school. I'm a hillbilly. I don't know. So I read somewhere that you're a vegan. How hard is that to do when you're traveling so much? Well, I travel for work. It's like you're always eating out. It's really takes a tear on you. So how are you able to live that lifestyle?
It just preparation and just kind of knowing where to go really when you're on the road. I eat at Whole Foods a lot.
Okay.
And just kind of look for health food stores. That's really the best way to do it. I mean, it's no different than just trying to eat healthy on the road. You know, you just got to find certain places to go, and then, and fortunately nowadays, there's way more places have offerings that can accommodate pretty much any type of, you know, dietary needs.
So, yeah, true.
It's not nearly as tough now as it was 5 or 6 years ago when I first started.
Gotcha. Yeah, is beer a vegan item? I don't know. I don't know enough about that stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
it is. Awesome. What's your favorite beer?
I can confirm.
Okay. What's your favorite beer?
Man. Peroni.
Peroni?
I think Peroni, yeah. I think that's probably my favorite.
Okay.
The Italian, it's just like a light Italian beer.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never had it, though.
Yeah, you get it at, like, pizza places and Italian restaurants. And,
okay.
For some reason, a Peroni just always tastes colder than anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
So, I'll take a Peroni.
I've never had one of those. It's something that we should go out and have one sometime, Lugs. Yeah, we start off every show drinking Busch, because that's the official beer of NASCAR.
You guys drink a case of Busch before you start the show.
Some nights it feels like that.
Yeah, usually just one or two or five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get a Monster in one hand and a Busch in the other, and it's a crazy
some
night.
Yeah. Some night here, insider information here. Sometimes it's actually just a Monster and it's not a Busch.
for you, yes. Yes. Hey, one of these days we'll be on YouTube. Yes, yes. All right. So I know Lugs asked you like the weirdest thing that fans ask you to do or whatever. Is there anything that you would absolutely refuse to do? Like someone comes up and says, hey, this, there's one thing that you will never, ever do. I'm sure there's a lot, but there's one thing like a phobia of some sort. Anything come to mind that like, no.
I know I'm picturing myself every once in a while turning down a request. I just can't think of specifically what it is. There's some of them are just like somebody will ask me to sign a money or something like that, and it's just like, no, I'm not doing that.
Why would you sign money?
I've seen that. I don't know either.
Because sometimes people, they get up and they don't have anything to sign, or they just give
you
a dollar.
Yeah.
A dollar, and it's like, no.
I guess that makes sense.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, sign my tongue.
Yeah. It's always awkward signing somebody else's hero card or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
You know, with the hairdo you got going on right now, is anybody bringing like a Ryan Blaney card and say, hey, Ryan, sign this for me?
No, but I'll get fans that yell it at me across the garage because they think that I'm someone else.
That's got to be kind of, I don't want to say embarrassing, but kind of a shitty moment. Like, damn it, I'm bigger than this.
Yeah, that's when I mouth off at them, though.
Hey.
Lady,
so
I'm like...
Yeah, there you go. Good call. Yeah, good call.
I did see something on, I believe it was Twitter. You thinking about cutting those locks again there, Landon?
Yeah, it's just a matter of when. I don't know what to do with it and when, but... I promised my team owners that I would come to Daytona looking like an adult.
I gotcha.
So,
well, you do realize that Landon was...
I need to do something with it.
Landon was number one on NASCAR Chasm's power rankings of the drivers with the best fashion sense, right? Did you know that, Lugs?
I did. I saw it. I saw it.
How'd that make you feel, Landon?
It was a huge accomplishment.
Almost right there with your, you know, 08 Rookie of the Year award, right?
Right, pretty much.
Oh, man. Let's see. Oh, man, I had a question here, now I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, duh. So, you know, we're big NASCAR movie fans. Days of Thunder or Talladega Nights?
Days of Thunder, for sure. I mean, Talladega Nights is great, but... The real question is, have you ever seen Steel Chariot?
I have not seen Steel Chariot. I thought you were going to say Stroker Ace. No, I have not seen Steel Chariot.
Mm-mm.
Steel Chariot was like a made-for-TV movie back in the 90s. And I can't find it anywhere. Like, I don't think it's even on the internet. There's very little information about it on the internet, but Randy Travis was in it.
Oh, man, right there's classic and, already.
Oh, yeah, it was, it was...
Something it was else, something. It sounds like.
For sure.
Nice. Well, yeah, you can't go wrong with Days of Thunder. You got to pick Days of Thunder. I mean, any...
Yeah, yeah, I just watched it the other day, actually. It was on... It was, I think it was on... TNT, maybe? Or... No, it was on CMT.
Okay.
It's okay. Just... Those cars, man, are just iconic. Those are some of my favorite body style cars ever. So I'm sure you probably saw the news with Darlington, the era that they announced for this year at Darlington, the 90 to 94. Any thoughts there?
Really?
Yeah, I guess it came out, what, today, earlier today or something they said?
Maybe yesterday.
Officially,
yeah.
That's their targeting is like 90 to 94. Is that?
And there's so many damn good paint schemes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could do the Hardy's car from Days of Thunder or the Meliello car from Days of Thunder or Kyle Petty. Yeah. We really like the Harry Gantt car. So, if you want an idea, you know, for your car, you know, the Harry Gantt skull car, is actually pretty cool.
We'll have to see who's the number 00 back then.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I don't know.
Last person back that, the furthest back I can remember would be Buckshot Jones.
Yeah, Buckshot Jones. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that shows
up. Yeah, that's another 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't. That's far back as my brain works.
Yeah. My brain's really turned off. Yeah. So, what kind of recreational activities do you do? Do you like hunt, fish, ATV race, anything like that?
Not really. I like to golf and I like to train for triathlon.
Yeah.
That's kind of the extent of what I do. Outside, you know, other than just spend time with my wife and kids.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Yeah, we like, you know, we like fitness, we like to exercise, so my wife and I'll go out together and go to do a yoga class and stuff like that, and we work out on our bikes in the basement. She's got a Peloton, I've got my bike, so we'll work out on our bikes together in the basement.
Nice. Do you ever go for take a bike out with like Dale Jr. or Jimmy Johnson or anything?
Yeah, I've ridden with those guys all a bunch.
Cool. Yeah, I know that's like started like a whole trend of people riding bikes now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in NASCAR that road bike on the weekends. I mean, you kind of have that Saturday afternoon downtime with nothing to do, so a lot of guys. Take
your bike out and go. And this is my geekdom coming out again, Lena. But for a while, didn't you have like a bike or stationary bike? You're doing some sort of training in like your basement or something like that? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah. I've got a stationary bike in my basement that I do most of my riding.
But you would train like hours and stuff, right? If I remember correctly. I can't remember how old that video was, but...
Especially when I'm really kind of peaking my training for Ironman stuff, I'll typically have anywhere from a 2 to 3 hour bike ride that I'll just do on my stationary bike in the basement.
Good time to get, I guess, through. I don't know how intense you get with it, but a good time to go through social media and
how about
read
some
stuff.
Wrecking and Racing NASCAR podcast?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, those are good. The podcasts are good for long runs. And typically Netflix and movies are what I save for the ride. So what I want, like the Haunting of Hill House. I exclusively watch it while I'm riding my bike because my wife doesn't like that show. So I don't watch it with her. So I watch it while I'm on my bike.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, some people say it's a real scary show. I didn't find it all that scary. My wife did. I don't know. I heard something about people throwing up watching it. I never thought
they say that about everything, though.
Haunting of Hill House?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Haunting of Hill House.
I don't know if it's that scary.
I guess maybe the little jump scenes that they have. I don't know. I don't get it. I never got it. What's a food you have to have, and what's a food that you cannot stand?
Food that I have to have. Bread.
Carbs.
I'm a bread eater. I can't think of anything that I can't stand. What kind of food can I stand? pepper. More like a seasoning. My wife says pepper. I don't put pepper on anything.
Okay.
I don't like pepper, that's for sure. But I do like hot sauce and chili peppers and stuff. But I don't like black pepper for some reason.
Hmm. All right.
Interesting. So if you were on death row, what would your last meal be?
That's a very random question there.
That's heavy. I have to put some more thought into that.
Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's heavy. I don't know.
Like a lobster tail, you know, a T-bone, both.
Would you break your vegan, you know, rule, yeah. I guess, is what he's getting at here. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I'm not like, I don't really crave to eat meat or anything like that, so.
Good. I need to start that. I do. I crave nothing but steak and potatoes. I'm horrible.
I would eat like a vegan chicken pot pie or something.
Alright. Yeah.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah.
Some I would try.
Good old comfort food before yeah. you get.
Well, now they're engineering like vegan food to basically be taste identical to meat products. So I mean, I don't really what the difference would.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen.
Exactly. They do. Yeah.
Cat or dog?
We're a dog family.
Awesome. Same here. Cats are worthless. Yeah. Dogs are
weird.
Yeah, yeah. Dogs bring much more happiness.
So, Landon, you got maybe any track specifically circled this season where you're like, gosh, I just really feel good about this track or this race?
I wouldn't say give any specifically, but I am looking forward to just seeing how this new package runs. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, I think that you're going to see some really good races, and I think that you're going to see some extremely boring races.
I think so. I mean, I just think
that there's a chance of a lot of high speed parades and incomplete passes. Where people just get, you know, they get a run on someone, get up next to them, and they stall out because they can't get past the side draft.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that you'll see some 3-wide, 4-wide stuff. I mean, I can't help but to think that it's going to be really entertaining at Fontana.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be one race that I think is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to seeing it, so. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, it's cool that you're going to have different... You'll still have the horsepower at the short tracks and stuff like that, so... you know, it's good that they didn't do it all the way across the board.
Yeah, do you see, like, when it comes to Talladega, that... I mean, what do you... With them cutting the horsepower down so much, what do you feel about, like, Talladega? Do you think it's going to make a huge impact, or do you think it's... gonna be better?
Well, Talladega, they're actually increasing the horsepower because the right now Talladega we have I'm not sure the exact numbers, but we're gonna have more horsepower at Talladega and both Daytonas or both Talladegas and the July Daytona.
Right they're keeping
that'll be interesting.
So it's going to fight,
you know, they're gonna have the big spoiler and the more horsepower at those tracks, though. That'll definitely be interesting. There's a lot of unknowns.
And I'm really hoping it really helps.
Interesting. Wait and see.
I really hope it helps teams like your size to be able to be competitive. You know, I'm hoping it helps level the playing field a little bit more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that it's still... I mean, the faster teams are still going to be faster. And that's everywhere from the between the first and 10th place guys and the 20th and 30th place guys. But I do think that it'll help some of us, like the smaller teams, stay closer to the lead lap or mm-hmm. you know, instead mm-hmm. of being 10 laps down at the end of the race, we're maybe 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, gives you the opportunity to get wave arounds and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When the cautions start coming out.
This kind of came up in conversation in the last year or so, debating bringing back racing to the caution. What's your thoughts on that? Think that should change, go back the way it was, or keep it as it is?
I don't understand why you would even suggest that. I don't get it.
I don't know either. I mean, a lot of fans are like calling for it, and
I think Larry McReynolds even said it.
Yeah, even yeah. Larry Mack said it. You know, that they need to bring it back. So
why?
I guess the excitement factor, I don't know. But, you know, from a safety standpoint, obviously, if you've got a car sitting sideways in the track at the start-finish line, that's going to be a bad deal. But, you know, I don't know. It's something that's come up a lot lately, it seems like, in conversation.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to put some thought into it as to why you would. But it doesn't seem necessary. I mean, I just don't see why it seemed necessary. I don't think that's... I'd have to really figure out how the reward would outweigh the risk.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. And I, as Lugs was saying, I don't see any positives to... Other than fans, you know, fans are wishy-washy anyway, as you see on social media, but them calling for more excitement, maybe that's the reason, but again, though, we don't want to throw safety out the damn window.
I mean, you kind of have that now with the stage racing, right? When the stage is ending... You know, we've seen some of the leaders really get racy trying to get back to something. Sure. You kind of already have it, so I don't know what, you know, to your point, Landon, why they would need it at the cautions. So.
Right. And, I mean, if fans are looking for excitement, I mean, if there's a crash on the racetrack, I mean, that should be some excitement for them to see right there. I mean, it's not like they need to be, you know, stimulated twice in a matter of 30 seconds.
Right, right.
That there's a crash on the racetrack, and then we're going to watch them barrel through the smoke and dust to get to the
start
finish line.
Yeah, right. I got a question that's going to put you on the spot, Landon. I apologize in advance. If I made you CEO of NASCAR tomorrow, what's the first change you would do?
I think that they're on the right path right now with coming up with some sort of getting their arms wrapped around how much money these teams spend. And I would like to see some sort of spending cap on certain things that could really sort of find some sort of diminishing return on just spending, you know, whether it's luxury tax mm-hmm. or spending cap on people and payroll or components, engines, I don't know. I mean, I think that there needs to be some sort of spending controls that can finally, you know, get the biggest teams to reach a point where there's just no point spending any more money and they can start making money.
Yeah.
Not just continuing to outspend themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of idea of like the Yankees and stuff trying to mitigate that as much as you can, even though they'll find ways around it, but I love the idea. I know Lugs and I have thrown around the idea and talked about before about maybe, you know, each team has so like an X amount of people, but every team has the same amount of people. Like you're allowed one car chief, one crew chief, five pit guys, and one crew of 10 people to build a car. Something like that where every team has the same. You can't do more than that.
Right.
It's hard to police that stuff.
But it is. I mean, so... But anyway, yeah, we agree with you on that. It's a great idea. And hopefully, I like you were saying, I think NASCAR is starting to get the feel of that. And one thing that we've learned from this show is that the small teams, they are the sport. I went into doing this podcast, always been a big team guy, you know, Hendrick, you know, DEI or whatever. But the more I do this podcast, more I respect the hell out of you guys. Like I said, we've had Vinny Miller, Garrett Smithley on here. We got Tommy Joe Martins on our next show. I really respect these teams. And then people like Rob Kaufman piss me off when they start making comments about these small teams. So anyway, I thank you very much for, you know, being there and doing what you're doing. You guys don't get enough respect.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. And I think NASCAR's in the right direction there, so hopefully they chug along, get something done.
Awesome. Well, Landon,
don't have to make me CEO.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, one last thing before we let you go. What's one thing you want the fans to know about you? There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. We actually talked about that before we recorded the intro on this. So yeah. They're going to know. So you might get an influx of cameo requests.
Yeah, you got to let the fans know at the beginning of the show how we got together. So
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good story. And I really appreciate the video. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. That was great. And I was jumping up and down when you messaged us about coming on the show or whatever. So, we're a small podcast, and it is, you talking about finding sponsorships, us trying to find people to talk to within the industry is so difficult. So difficult. We put hours in.
I can understand how hard it is for you guys to get people to commit and come on the show. And,
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, the best thing you can do is just name drop the good guys that have come on your show and just say, hey, those guys came on the show. And,
absolutely.
So you know, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, we're going to be name dropping you a lot, though, now. So.
Well, but, that's fine. You can do it all you want.
Appreciate it. Hopefully we haven't bored you too much. It's been, from our side, it's been a pleasure, man. Like, an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Landon.
Yeah, it never, you know, never hesitate.
I'm going to get back to the rest of this Christmas movie.
Yeah. It, one last thing, never hesitate to tell your friends about us. So, like, you reach out to Dale Jr. and say, hey, you should jump on this podcast. But, Landon, we appreciate you.
Okay.
We appreciate you. You have a good night, and good night to the wife and kid, too.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care.
And fans, as Landon was saying, check him out on Cameo, cameo.com. That's how we actually got in touch. It's really neat, especially for Christmas. Essentially, you can, you know, pay him like, I don't know, 15, 20 bucks, whatever it is, and he'll do a personalized message for you. So, and that's how we end up getting him on the show. So, yeah, thank you very much, Landon. It was an extreme pleasure. And as you guys could tell by logs, he fanboyed out quite often during that interview. A little creepy at points.
Oh,
but
come on now.
Anyway, good for you, Lux. Good for you. Anyway, it was awesome, so I'm glad that worked out. So going on, you know, we've talked about the Cup Series. We did forget one thing, because this is kind of new news. AJ Allmendinger will be an announcer now for NBC, NASCAR and NBC, as well as the, like, Rolex 24. I think he's doing racing and commentating at the same time for the Rolex.
Yeah. Oh, so he's going to race?
I think
then
he's in the
race. Out of the car and commentate?
Well, I think he's going to be commentating from inside the car, I think.
That seems very distracting, especially at Rolex.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, he's doing two roles at the Rolex 24.
I don't see how anybody could comment and race and be competitive.
Anyway, so that was the last bit of Monster Energy Cup news. Now we'll move on to Xfinity, where it's a little bit of a quieter, slower week. But there was one big announcement this week. We kept asking, what's going to happen to the 9 car? We kept saying, oh, Noah Gragson's going to the 9 car. No, Noah went to the 1 car. You know, he had the 9 team, but he will be the 1 car.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Zane Smith is going to be joining Junior Motorsports for 8 races.
Yep. Yep, the first one is going to be Vegas with, I guess, Cosmopolitan, the hotel chain.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever they're called out there, casino, mm-hmm. resort.
Yeah.
On the car in Vegas. So I don't know if that's for all 8 races or just Vegas, but that's the first one. So congrats to
Yeah, a big Zane. Opportunity to prove himself in top equipment.
And so I don't think has he made a truck series start?
I don't think so.
So just gonna now, completely forgo.
Yeah, his teammate did. Sheldon Creed was his teammate in the ARCA series. I don't think he's made a truck start. If he did, it's only like one.
Interesting. Interesting that you would
jump in that much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even if you had a few starts, that's, you know, just skip the skip the series. I guess
we had one of his other teammates on the show before, Chase Purdy. But yeah, I mean, we follow him on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. So he's on Facebook pretty frequently.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So going on to truck news now, there's only one thing that I can find for truck news relatable for the podcast, and that's Tyler Ankrum, who was the K&N East champion. He's going to race for DGR Crosley, I guess, be teammates with Natalie Decker. But he can't race until after 3 races in because he doesn't turn 18 until then. So he has to wait till he turns 18, then he'll be making his truck debut.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, folks, thank you for listening. Go follow Landon. Talking about a fans person. I mean, he's accessible. He responds. He seems like a really great guy. Find him on Cameo. And also find our buddy Trevor Rizzo as well. And go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page and see the giveaway we're having for the shirt for Trevor.
Yep.
As always, folks, thank you for listening. Catch us on iTunes. Please rate us on iTunes as well. Have a good night.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.